Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, here we are on a Friday doing the Gear Garage Live Show. This is where I answer questions that have been submitted throughout the week. Usually it's on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. and it will be now again, but I got a backlog of questions on a Friday. I'm back in the office, so here we go. All we're going to do today is answer questions. No ads, no other stuff, so let's get busy. The first one is, I've been invited on a Middle Fork salmon trip June 10th, super psyched. The trip leader wants to cap the trip at 5 feet, but I bet it will be higher. I'm pushing for a careful, safe trip, even if higher than 5 feet. I feel up to the challenge 100%. The crew is solid. Any thoughts on flows and wisdom of going? I hate the idea of the permit being canceled. Thanks. I mean, June 10th could be the peak. I just checked the flow yesterday for the first time in a while, or the snowpack. I'm going to get rid of this and share some thoughts. I'm feeling better about Middle Fork flows in terms of them getting too big than I did before. They're rising right now. It's going to get warm out there. You can see, like, it looks like the next few days, the little red dots here, that's the record flow for that date. Looks like we're going to pass the record flows for that date. Like, we're getting an early melt, and the peak and the flow is going up. So the trend is, and this is the average line right here, if you can see my cursor. This is the average flow for that time of year. We're melting off snow right now, and you can really tell that if you look here. And this is my page that has all the graphs. We were really high up here. The black line, we were like 120% of average, and it's gone straight down over the past few weeks, and now we're below average. And if it keeps this trend, the snow's going to melt up early. We'll have a peak in a week or two, and there won't be a big peak in June. So if I was to pull my crystal ball right now, which I hate doing, but I'm going to do it anyway, I'm going to say June 10th could be pretty sweet. I'm guessing 4 feet. That's just my guess right now based on what I'm seeing, you know, over a month ahead of time. Now, 5 feet is a good cutoff. I'm just going to say, like, it's a good cutoff. And so whoever the trip leader is, I think is being super smart. Let me check the comments. It's 80s in Boise right now. Yeah, I mean, things are melting. So, you know, I would worry about this a week or two ago, but with the forecast we have and the way the snow's been melting, I think stuff's coming off early. And so I don't think you're going to have 5 feet. And if you did, though, 5 feet and above starts to get pretty challenging. And it's not that much harder. It's still, like, I don't know. The moves themselves are generally class three. We don't know what the new Hell's Half Mile is going to look like. We don't know what the new Velvet's going to look like, these flows, because they've changed even since last year. So there's not certainty on those moves. The problem is, if you go for a swim, it could be a very long swim. And people, I would say, like, on big water years, on average, somebody dies from just a long swim. Either they just swim a long time and they're incapacitated, or they run into a tree. But there are so many problems, especially if a marsh creek. I think that this is a smart cutoff level for the trip leader. And if you feel to the challenge 100%, great. That's you. That's not the team. What does the team feel up to? And is the team physically fit? Can they handle a long swim? Is everybody dressed correctly? Do people know the river? So I'm pretty cool with this 5 foot level, honestly. Like, I start to get nervous. Even at 5 feet, it's pretty continuous. The water's cold. It's problematic. But I don't know, I think you'll it's a bummer to cancel a trip, but for safety's sake, not the worst idea. I've just been out there at high water when people are having a really bad time. Even if there's not, like, a major incident, people have multiple flips. They end up flying out. Problems happen. And so, I don't know, better safe than sorry. So I think this trip leader is being pretty smart. Depends on the crew, of course, but that's where we're at. Okay. What about guides wearing Chacos? Do you have any thoughts about that? I don't know. Chacos are cool. I don't wear them anymore. I used to wear them. I used to love, you know, they used to have grippier soles. So, you know, you could jump from rock to rock really easily. They're not as good as they used to be. They don't provide toe protection. I've cut my toe open a couple of times wearing Chacos. I wear shoes all the time. I urge my guides to wear shoes all the time, but I don't require it. I just say you probably should. I'd rather have them wear Chacos than other worse things like flip-flops, booties, like things that can come off your feet, things that don't give you foot protection on the bottom of your sole. So I'm not stoked on Chacos, but I also like, yeah, if that's what people want to wear and the Chaco tan is important to them, I don't know, wear your Chacos. But I'm a big fan of shoes now. There's really good river shoes now. So I think that's becoming the standard. I guided for years in Chacos. I did on the Tuolumne River, tough river, lots of scouting. I mean, I did it. So I know it can be done. It can be done intelligently and it can be done responsibly. It's just, I now really appreciate the toe protection. Oh, this is long. All right. You've covered a lot on static line length and diameter in your previous videos. I'm curious to hear more about material and buoyancy. Why would a gear you offer this? And why would a gear you offer the Sterling Super Static 2 rope, but I don't believe that's a high floating material and is quite a bit heavier without being stronger than some other equivalent 3/8-inch rope like Ultraline? Okay. It's a tough sentence to read, but I think I got it. Can you review a bit more on rope design materials versus use and why order SQ applications? Sterling looks to be the standard in ropes, and their Ultraline appears to be the best overall options for weight versus snake versus flotation. The only downside I can see is the Ultraline is not available in sizes larger than 1/4 3/8 inch if someone needs 11 millimeters or larger. Okay, this is the easy to answer. I think that you're too caught up on your static line floating. I think some rescue instructors teach that your static line needs to float. I just think that's nonsense. Like, your static line doesn't end up in the river. It goes above the river. Now, there's a chance your static line, and we're talking about static line, like you have a wrap or something, you want to do some serious pulling. That's what this is for. This is for mechanical advantage, heavy-duty stuff. Your static line, your big haul line, I'm going to call it a haul line, it doesn't need to float. It doesn't, and honestly, it doesn't need to be colorful. It's nice if it's colorful. This is a line that is, you throw a throw bag over, you pull this line over. Ideally, this line's above the water the whole time. It doesn't need to float. And I don't really care what your rescue instructor told you. It doesn't need to float. Now, it would be cool if it floated. I'm not going to say no to a floating. But as soon as the static line is made of material that floats, it's stretchier. And there's only one floating static line, and that's made by this company Beal. And it has a lot of elongation. And I would not recommend that. So I don't focus on floating. Just focus on minimal elongation. The ropes that I sell don't float, because they don't need to float. I don't think they need to float. But they have minimal elongation. They're super static. Let me bring them up real quick because I can turn this into a little commercial for some of the stuff we sell. So I have a website. You all probably know that, riverhardware.com. I created this originally to sell like our Northwest merch, like hats, cups, shirts. Everybody's like, I want to buy a shirt. I want to buy a hat. So I created it to like sell the stuff. It's super cool. And I have a River Rescue Gear page because I get these questions all the time. What pulley should I buy? What press stick should I buy? Where should I buy it? What static line should I get? On this page is the stuff that I believe is the best based on my experience, my training, my judgment. And the gold standard is this 200-foot 716 super static. It's an awesome rope. But a solid rope is 150 feet of Sterling 3/8 super static. This is a good rope. It's not super bulky. It's not super heavy, but it has minimal elongation. The elongation of 300 pounds is 3.1%. That is not much. This is a 6-pound rope. It doesn't float, right? I don't want my static lines to float. I mean, of course, if it did, that would be cool. But as soon as you put floating material in there, it's not as strong, and it elongates more. And when it elongates, you lose energy to the stretch of the rope. That's also how this rope stretch and the equipment fires back at you, it fires back at you harder. Sorry, that's a lot of information. I have a lot of complex thoughts about this. This is a good medium duty static line. This is certainly an awesome rope. But if you want the heavy duty, the bad boy, that's what this is. 200 feet of 716s. You know, it's not specifically designed for water rescue. It's designed to be a static line. It's designed to be a haul line. It's a great rope. Either rope is great rope. That's a super duty static line, super, if you want one of those. As an option, I throw in this 23 meter, which is 23 meters, I don't know, like 100 and something feet, it's 100 feet. this is a throwbag-ish thing. It's a big throwback in her waist. You can wrap it around a thwart in her boat. This is a moderate haul line. This is like cataracts, light rafts, not a lot of distance. This is an option. This is a decent option. It's not as expensive, but still, you know, nice. But yeah, these Sterling lines are really sweet. So let's get back to the question. So it's heavier with that being stronger than some other equivalent 3/8 inch rope like Ultraline. Ultraline is another Sterling product. And I use Ultraline a lot for different things. Let me go back here. Let's go back and see if we can find Ultraline. Sterling Ultraline. I just actually bought a whole bunch of it to use for, it's designed for water rescue. It says water rescue rope. This is good throwback rope. And I'm pretty sure the static line is stronger, but the elongation it says here is less because it has the Spectra and Polypro. So it's good rope. It has minimal elongation. It's strong. Like, this is a good option. And I think this floats too. So, like, it's a good option. I just really like the ultra line over this line for pulling on raft. You know, again, this is an option, the 3/8 inch version. I don't think I've even played. Have I played with a 3/8 inch option? Let's see how much it costs. So we go 150 feet, 3/8. Where are we at? $300. And that's probably less. And I have this exact rope in my back closet. It's a good rope. I can't remember why I don't like this one. So it's high strength, spectral core, polypro sheath for superior strength over standard float ropes, triple free, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think for me, in terms of like, I can't remember the exact reason why I don't prefer this rope. It's a good rope. It's a good option. I like the super statics more. And I think if I remember right, it has to do with like thrust six, holding onto a better, the sheath isn't as strong. So like you're more likely and I'm just guessing why I don't like this thing. I do a lot of tests and I try a lot of things out and I play with things and I make a decision. I figure why I made a decision. Sometimes that's probably the case here. I think it has to do with how it works with pull of Prussix, and I think it melts at a lower temperature, I think. And so Prussix are more likely to melt it. I personally don't go with this rope. See, the maximum, the breaking strength is 23 kilonewtons, which isn't much. I like the elongation. Like, this is, where are we at here? The 9.5 millimeter. So we're at 3/8 inch. So 1.2% on the 9.5 millimeter. I don't see, I guess 3/8 inch is about 10 millimeters. So, I mean, that's a good rope. Again, I like, so we're talking about 23 kilonewtons breaking strength. Let's compare that to this rope, which is the super static tube. This one costs a little bit less. It's more durable. Breaking strength's the same. This one has a little bit more elongation. I like low elongation. So yeah, I mean, they're both good options. I just prefer this one. This feels more like it's more durable, longer lasting, that kind of thing. All right, so let's go back to the questions you've answered, right? Super static tube, don't play the tight float material. Yeah, I don't care. And it's quite a bit heavier, not being stronger, same strength. Yeah. The only 3/8 inch rope I think out there that compares to strength and is the Ultraline. So the Ultraline, again, decent option. I just like this, the super static. Can you review a bit more on rope design versus materials versus use in whitewater rescue applications? So there's rescue and then there's equipment retrieval. Rescue is getting people. So like a rope like this, it to me just isn't applicable for what I would call rescue, getting people. Now, if you're a firefighter and you can run ropes across the river and do like telfer lowers or lowering tension diagonals or the lowering V, all those fancy rope things, you might want the Ultraline then. Like, there's a lot of things that firefighters do with ropes that are like super fancy. We're boaters, so we use our boats instead to go get things instead of like fancy rope systems that go to both sides of the river. This is a haul line for me. This is generally a boat is pinned. I'm going to get a boat on it and pull really hard. And so I'm going to choose for, and I call that equipment retrieval. So if I want to do equipment retrieval instead of whitewater rescue, just equipment retrieval, I want a, just a good solid static line. And to me, that's the super static too. So hopefully it answers the question. Kind of rereading again a little bit. It looks like 10 millimeter is the largest that they make in the ultra line. So if you want to go heavier duty, let's go back to here. You know, this is about 10. I think this is 10 millimeters or about 10 millimeters. It's the same as the ultra line. I just like this. It's a good row, it packs small. But if you need bigger, you have to go with a static line. In that case, it's something like this. I think 7/16 is 11 meters. It's stronger. So if you want the beefy one, 2% elongation, can't go wrong with that. Okay, lots of information. Here we go. Tom says caving rope, minimal stretch, wet conditions. Yeah, caving rope would be good too. Yeah, I think the super static two is just a solid rope. That's why I like it. There's all kinds. There's caving ropes. There's tree ropes. There's, you know, they all have slightly different, you know, sheaths and cores and colors and tracers and all that stuff. Some do different things, but caving rope is good. Yeah. I want something durable that holds Prussic well that I can pull on. Thanks, Tom. All right, let's move on. 18-foot raft Oahe. What's your low flow cutoff for getting a medium to lightly loaded 18-foot raft down the lower Oahe? So me personally, I could get it down probably 350, 400. One of our commercial trips, assuming our guides are out there, I would say, depends on the guides, really good guides, about the same, 400, maybe 350. I'd say like not as good of a guides, I'd probably cut them off at like 800. I don't know, who knows, somewhere like that. But just because that's my low flow cutoff personally or our company's doesn't mean it's yours. Because you may, like, getting an 18-foot raft down the Oahe requires you getting out and pushing and pulling sometimes and requires really solid boat handling skills or management skills, but most of all, just physical fitness. Like, you have to be physically fit to get out and, like, push that thing through parts. I'm able to make technical moves, just not interested in getting high centered or squeezed all the time and having to get out and shove a hole up. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, then my low water cost probably 1,000. Just call it maybe 800. I don't know. But if you don't want to get out of your boat, that changes the game completely. Like, I don't know, 1,200 maybe, 1,500, something like that. Nuisance, for example, yeah. Does an 18 fit between boulders? Yeah, it fits. And it'll make it. You'd be surprised what they can do. 5 days out from launch, and flows have been slowly dropping, currently around 13 to 1,400 with no major precip in the forecast. Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. Everybody's different. Let's see what the flow is now, because I probably got this message a few days ago. This may not even matter. Oahe River flow. Here we go. Oahe at Rome. Let's see. The new pages are weird to me. I have to go use the old versions because it's in feet. All right, here we go. Yeah, it's like right around that. It's kind of just staying the same. 1,400 is a great flow. You'll have a great time. But I think a lot of people are afraid to run 18s or bigger boats. And if the boat's bigger, it surprisingly can fit through channels and it sits higher. So if you run a 16 or a 14 with the same amount of gear, you're going to be sitting deeper in the river and getting stuck more. And so, yeah, an 18-foot boat at 1,300, 1,400 CFS, I mean, it should be fine. Willie Bum Bum, guiding in Chacos is not cool. Okay, cool. So, I did it for a long time. I'm not a big fan of it anymore, but it can be done. You're just going to stub your toe once in a while. And, you know, yeah, there's some downsides, but it's not the end of the world. But Willie Bum Bum, tell us why. Tell us your opinion. All right, next question, IK Safety. Thanks to the channel, it's an excellent resource for people like me who are new to rafting. Sweet. Two buddies and I took the Northwest Class 301 school last year. That was awesome. Cool to hear. The Lower Salmon is one of the rivers the instructors recommended as a good first private trip, so we're planning a multi-day trip with our families in mid-July. Sweet. There's several high school kids. I'm considering bringing two or three inflatable kayaks for them to use if they want more excitement than riding rafts. Everyone will be in helmets and PFDs. The kids are strong swimmers and comfortable in the water. I have three questions. Where should we put the IKs in the group? I'm thinking between the middle raft and last raft, as that will leave two downstream rafts in case they swim. That sounds super smart. But having three IKs in the water at one time be too many given we only have three rafts? I don't know. It depends on how good they are in the IKs. And the IKs can rescue each other. So, you know, the IKs are probably better rescuing each other than they are for rescuing than the rafts are. So there's some advantages to having three IKs versus two or one. So it depends how active they are, how good at rescuing each other they are. It depends how good the raptors are at giving direction and pull and rescuing duckies. I have no idea what the answer is. Could you talk about how trip leaders monitor IKs in their commercial trips? Yeah, I mean, we give a safety talk to kayaks specifically, and you know, we just make it clear that you need to stay between our boats. That's really important. We talk a lot about leaning into rocks, leaning into holes. I think that's super important. And a lot about distance, keeping some distance between the kayaks, you know, running into each other, but not so far away that you can't, you know, you don't follow a line. But I think the big thing is that we talk about with the duckies is they need to listen to the head guy. And as soon as the mama ducky, whoever's in charge of the duckies, the most problems happen when people start going freeform. When our guides give direction, like start right, go to the middle, for example, and they didn't hear it, they didn't understand it, they see a hole and they want to go into it, they start going freeform, that's when they get dangerous. So the biggest thing we're telling them is please stay between the boats and listen to our direction and follow our direction. So that's what I would say. Like, monitoring them is just watching them. If they're swimming a lot and struggling, you got to pull them. They're just not making it. Duckies are hard. Duckies are really hard. It's more complicated than that. I would say the other piece of advice is try to keep your piece of information to two. Don't, you know, if you enter a rapid and somebody says, okay, you're going to start on the right over by those bushes, and you're going to go to the middle by the rock and then get behind the rock and then go back to the left a little bit, but then back right at the bottom. Watch out for the big hole halfway down. Oh, yeah, don't forget about a rock a third of the way down, and then you want to finish on the left. Nobody can remember all that. Even just like three or four pieces of information, like start in the middle, go to the right, go back to the left, go to the bottom, you'll see a big hole on the right, go left to that. Like, you just lost everybody. Whereas, like, you got to give them the key pieces of information. Start in the middle and finish on the left. People can remember that. Okay, cool. I can do that. You know, start on the far right. Then I want you to stay down the far right. At the bottom, get to the middle. Easy. Another thing I've seen guides do is explain it as like a five-lane freeway. So like river left is lane one, and then the center of the river is lane three, and river right's lane five. And so they'll say start in lane five, get over lane three, and then finish in lane four. I think that's a super smart way to describe rapids. But it's really hard to describe rapids, the duckies, in a way that they will remember, understand, and then execute. And it's way harder than everybody thinks. So hopefully that helps. It depends. Basically, the answers to your question are do what you need to do. You're already smart enough to think about putting two boats is downstream safety, but you know, make sure the duckies can rescue themselves. Like, teach them how to get, like, have them practice getting in the boat themselves. Like, self-rescue is the best rescue. Teach them how to rescue each other, and then have boats downstream they can help get them in the water. All right, here we go. Willie Bum Bum, interesting rope selection chat. Yeah, Willie Bum Bum, whatever happened to our dynamic versus static conversation? We gotta bring that one back up. Big fan. Yeah, I'm too. Well, I'm the same. Like, I don't wear sandals anymore, ever. I'm closed-toe shoes. I urge our guides to do it. It's smart. But if somebody really wants to wear chacos, I'm not going to freak out. It's like, yeah, cool. You understand the issues. You're making some life decisions for yourself, and just be careful. Guiding IKs from raft is tough. Yeah, it's big, George. It's super doable, though. Like, it's not, it's super doable. It just takes some basic information. Okay, more. That's it for questions. Wow, we did it. We made it through the show. Well, thanks everybody for watching, for submitting questions. And if you have more questions, you can go to whitewaterguidebook.com. I'll bring that up. This is a website where we have articles that we write, and we have a bunch of river descriptions of different rivers. Whoa, here's a new one. Kayak terms for rafters. I haven't even seen this yet. Boats, creek boat, half slice, creek slice, play boat, full slice, old school play boat, quiver. Oh, this is just things that kayakers say. That's cool. So rafters can understand. Lingo. Oh, cool. Yeah, we write articles. This is a cool article. We write articles for the thing. We post the Gear Garage episodes if you want to watch them, you know, later afterwards. But we also have a section up here at the top, Gear Garage. If you go to ask a question, this is the best place to ask a question. Please don't. I mean, if you want to direct message me on Instagram, I might find it in a month and then be like, oh, yeah, this question. But if you want your question answered in a reasonable amount of time, this helps us organize them, put them together. If you ask a question through this forum, that would be sweet. And yeah, that's it for this episode. Oh, here we go. Got a couple comments. We'll move on. Do you all have any videos or discussion on your GoPro setup for rafting kayaking? How many did you lose till you got it dialed in? Lol. Had to jump off, but we'll watch to see your response after you post. I'm sure I did videos of GoPros, how I do GoPros before. There's Gear Garage videos. Search YouTube. You just search YouTube for like Gear Garage, GoPro, raft setup. I'm sure it comes up. I've lost a few GoPros. I've lost more drones than anything. Drones are the big one. I've lost a few GoPros. It's just part of it. That's why I suggest like buy a used GoPro 10 when you're learning instead of a brand new GoPro, the newest expensive one. Like GoPro 10, you can probably get cheap. GoPro 8, the footage is still really good. And then use that for a few years. If you don't lose it, awesome. You have a backup. And then upgrade to like a 12 or a 15 or whatever the newest thing is. Yep. GoPro and the guide someone has always been my most successful. Lost 327. You lost 327 GoPros. It's crazy, Willy Bum Bum. That's a lot. It's expensive. The thing about GoPros on the helmet when you're rafting is if you're looking around all the time, it's crappy footage. You got to keep looking forward. If a guide is focused, and guides need to look around, but if a guide is generally looking downstream and they keep their head kind of straight for a lot of it, it's good footage. But if you're looking behind you, well, you should be looking behind you as a guide. So it's going to be a lot of turning the head. It depends on the run. I like to mount mine somehow in a raft. I use a sub paddle in an oar boat, but in a paddle boat, it's tough. There's no good way to do it. So hopefully that helps. 3 or 4 lost. Yeah, that's reasonable. Well, sweet. That's it, everybody. We'll see you all probably doing an episode next Tuesday.